we bring in our expert Tim Lammers for our movie reviews. Movie reviews are brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Here's Tim Lammers.
New in theaters is Knock at the Cabin, a stirring apocalyptic thriller from director M. Night Shyamalan. The film follows a married couple and their young child, played by Jonathan Groff, Ben Aldridge, and Kristen Cooey, who are besieged by at their cabin by a group of four people led by Leonard, played by Dave Bautista. Binding up the couple and their child, the group asks them to make a choice. One of you needs to be sacrificed at the hands of the others, and the world, or otherwise, the world will end. They only have four chances to make the choice, and every time they refuse, a major catastrophe will befall the Earth. M. Night Shyamalan's movies have been hit and miss over the years, but Knock at the Cabin definitely lands on the mark. Expertly crafted, the film keeps you guessing throughout, and the performances by the ensemble cast, which also includes Rupert Grint of Harry Potter fame, helps elevate the film's intensity. It's suspenseful, frightening, emotional, and even profound. Knock at the Cabin is new in theaters.
All right. I am surprised, but I have seen previews for this, Tim. And when I look at the previews, I'm like, it looks good, but what a horrible topic. I'm like, these kind of topics make it so hard to watch.
You know, you were talking about, you know, how cold it is outside, and it's like, wait, let's just go to the cabin. Well, this isn't the sort of go to the cabin trip that we want to take.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody in Minnesota should watch this if they have a cabin. You might not get anybody there ever again. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's really well done. I mean, you know, M. Night Shyamalan's movies have just been so hit and miss. I mean, the guy, of course, hit the mark big time with The Sixth Sense, you know. I mean, that was nominated for Oscars and really put him on the map. And then he did Signs, actually before that, Unbreakable with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. And Signs, you know, that was a definite hit or miss with viewers. I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, his career suffered for a long, long time. And then he did, I think it was called The Visit. It was a found footage thriller a few years back that kind of put him back on the map again. So, you know, this one, it's got the greatness that goes along with his films. There's no doubt about that.
All right. I'm assuming this is not for kids.
Not at all.
Is it an R or is it a PG?
They would be freaked out with it. You know, the interesting thing is this Kristen Cooey, who, I don't know how you pronounce her last name. Mm-hmm. She is terrific, and she only seems like she's maybe 6 or 7 years old. I mean, she's really, really young.
Right.
And obviously, when these four people show up saying one of you needs to be sacrificed, we're not doing the sacrificing. Actually, you know, your parents are going to have to make the choice of who needs to go. Yeah, that's a frightening thing to think about, and frightening certainly for the child in the movie. So I can't imagine a young child going to this one and you know, your parenting license should be taken away if you're going to bring your kid with to this.
Yeah. I think about her as an actress. Did she have nightmares after she was recorded? Did she understand what they're doing?
Good.
Oh,
I mean, this
really?
Kid is so convincing, and that, you know, that really makes it or breaks it, you know? I mean, you got to have a kid that's convincing in this sort of role.
Wow.
You know, in this harrowing situation that, God forbid, anybody has ever put in, right?
Yeah. Oh, my
so,
gosh.
You know, it's interesting. It keeps you guessing because, you know, you're thinking about these four people that show up, and you know, they give them a choice, and if the choice isn't made, then a great plague will fall upon the earth. So there's one thing, and every time they say no, because really, it's like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Are they nutcases?
Like these, they
aren't
real.
Same-sex couple, do they have something against us, and they want to just see us hurt ourselves? I mean, what is the deal? Or as they turn on the television and they see these plagues happening in front of them, it's like, boy, is there really something to what they're saying?
Yeah.
Or is this just an elaborate ploy? So it really does keep you guessing all the way through, which is an incredibly difficult thing to do with movies. I mean, we see movies like the one last week, A Shotgun Wedding, where you knew what was going to actually happen before the movie, you know, at the very beginning, you knew it was going to happen, you know, long before it ended. Here, it's like, no, there's no predictability about this movie.
You know, I just have to say, I watched Shotgun Wedding when I was getting my hair done because I've got a hairdresser mm-hmm. that I have to go to my hair appointments because it's like she's got a full calendar. So I'm like, it's scheduled every 6 weeks like clockwork. And every 6 weeks I sit down and she puts a movie on just like I'm a 4-year-old. Like, don't talk. Sit there and watch
well,
a movie.
Behave now, yeah. Ellie, when you're in the barber
chair. Exactly.
And she always puts on the stylist chair.
She always puts on these romantic comedies for me, which I end up loving. And sometimes we're not done, so I have to go home and watch the rest of it. But I was laughing because she put that one on. It was right after we had talked about it. And you did not like that movie. And I was watching it going, okay, I, me and Tim are different here. I think this is really cute. It was way yeah. far-fetched and ridiculous.
Well, what I did for you is I lowered the expectations, which is probably yeah. a good thing.
Yes, that
now,
probably was.
I am also guilty. I must add, of setting the bar too high and really just raving over the movie. And then people saying, well, what the heck? What's the big deal about that? So, no, I mean, look, you like what you like. I guess, you know, I didn't hate the movie. I was just more disappointed because I felt like I've seen it before.
Yeah.
But again, you know, there's no question. I think I stressed this during that review, that I like Jennifer Lopez. Josh Duhamel and Jennifer Coolidge. I mean, I like them all. It's just that I felt like, okay, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
I'm the sort of person that really does like to be surprised.
Well, and this is the deal. If I would have paid money.
I got that with this movie, with Knock at the Cabin.
If I would have paid money to go to the theater to see that, I would not have been happy. But I always, like, if it's on a, well, you know, I'll throw this yeah. on, like, while I'm making cookies or getting my hair done, and then I'm fine with it. So there is
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and you know what? That was probably a wise move by the studio, because this was made by Lionsgate, which is a studio. And sometimes, you know, I mean, they might just not have the confidence for it to be a big theatrical hit. So if somebody like Amazon, who are flush with cash, comes along waving it, it's like, you know what? This is a good enough deal. Let's take this deal.
Yep.
And let's put it on streaming instead. And therefore, if you do feel like there was any sort of waste, the waste was time. It wasn't money.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it just worked that way.
Okay, so now this movie that we're talking about, though, it's in theaters, is it not?
Yeah, it is.
Is
it's
it
in theaters? And yes, you do have to freeze a bit getting into your car and driving there and leaving your car for a couple hours. And
now I can't figure
having
out
to
if,
warm it up again, but it was worth it for me. I tell you that much.
I can't figure out if this is going to be action packed because it's like they're tied up in a cabin. Are we getting cutaways or is it more like thriller?
Well, look, I mean, You can about imagine that. I mean, there is a lot of violence in it.
Mm.
It's bloody. And most of the violence is not in-your-face sort of violence. And sometimes it's worse. It's implied.
Okay.
Like, you might not see somebody get whacked, but you hear the sound.
Oh, gosh.
And you see the blood run. That sort of thing, which, again, you know, then it's up to your imagination what went on, and it might actually be worse.
Yep, that's a true statement.
And then, of course, when these plagues unfold, because, again, if you've seen the trailers, even short commercials, they kind of get into detail, maybe too much, of what sort of stuff is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff that's happening is biblical. You
right.
know, this, in a way, it's I'm not, you know, particularly religious person, but certainly it's biblical.
Okay.
I mean, people that are very religious are going to look at this and say, oh my God, this is scary stuff.
Yeah.
It's scary stuff even if you're not religious.
Yeah, like,
okay?
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, yeah. It's frightening. And so, yeah, I was unnerved by it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it is because, you know, these people are being told this stuff. Well, if you don't do this, these plagues are going to happen. And they're not like plagues like diseases all the time. There might be one involved, but when there's catastrophes on such an enormous level that hundreds of thousands of people die, and they're seeing this play out, it makes them think, well, maybe these people are for real. Maybe they aren't crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those movies that just keeps your mind going. And then when it's all spelled out, and I'm not going to tell you what happens, but that is like, wow, this is actually kind of profound.
Wow.
You know?
Makes
what
you
they
think.
Say and the reasonings that they come up with. Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. It's you know, it's more than a thriller. So you get all of that sort of stuff that's associated with a horror thriller or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you get some stuff that really is going to make you think.
You know, when awards come around for, like, best, I don't know if you call it thriller, do you think this one could possibly be up for any kind of awards like that?
Yeah, certainly it could. I mean, again, the thing about the award season, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, if this movie had that sort of appeal, it wouldn't be released in February. It'd be released in October, November, okay. December. You know, there are horror film awards and all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, I could see it being honored with that sort of stuff. But, you know, I think first and foremost what, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, he wants his people to be intrigued. He wants them to be entertained. And I think that's the main goal for, you know, making a movie like this. It's not necessarily to get any sort of honors, but yet at the same time, he does realize that you know, this needs to be compelling. It needs to feel real.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a guy like Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy all of a sudden playing this serious guy who is warning of this great apocalypse coming, Dave Bautista makes you believe it.
Yeah.
So it's impressive how a guy like that, who has played these, you know, superhero sorts of roles, and the tough guy, henchman sorts of roles. He was in Spectre, the James Bond picture. You know, he was once a professional wrestler. I mean, he's got a lot to prove to people to show that he's got the stuff.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of those movies that shows that Dave Bautista really does has the stuff to be a dramatic actor.
Yeah, he's been showing up a lot lately. I see him a lot.
Yeah, and it's great. You know, it's really great. And just a side story, I mean, I interviewed him for the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and I read a little trivia thing about him being a guard at the door, a bodyguard at the door of one of the bars in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that wasn't true, but
oh.
He did actually work at, he was a bouncer. The word was eluding me.
Okay.
He was actually, he worked in a gym, and he was a trainer in a gym, I believe in Plymouth.
Oh, wow.
For a while. So
really?
It's pretty crazy. But yeah, he's a really great guy, really nice guy, very serious, takes his work very, very seriously, and it shows. I mean, the guy is really a terrific actor.
All right, so that's in theaters. I do want to switch gears a little bit. We got a little bit longer time to talk today, but I want to switch gears because I'm a Netflix fan. I have Netflix, and there's a mm-hmm. documentary out there that I have seen called Pamela, A Love Story. Now, anytime I think about Pamela, I think, oh, gosh, here we go again. Is this
it's a sex tape thing and Tommy Lee and all that.
Yeah, is that what we're doing here again, or is it different?
I have to tell you, I look at Pamela Anderson in a completely different light after this.
I mean,
it is really raw Pamela Anderson. I mean, she doesn't even wear makeup in the thing. She doesn't care about her hair. You get her for who she is, right? She wants to lay it all out there and tell, you know, her true story about who she is and takes you through all the traumas in her life, all the marriages in her life. You know, there are some highs, but there are a lot of lows. But I think this documentary really humanizes her.
Yeah.
You know, you get the real Pamela here. I mean, it's funny now because she's got this out and she's got this new memoir out as well. So it's like, it's a full court press for her right now. And in fact, I think it was just yesterday, I got a Variety magazine in the mail. I still get magazines. She was on the cover. I mean, you know, this is, and I think part of it is to set the story straight about her, all these misconceptions about who she is. And, you know, she really, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, but she really got had in Hollywood.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know, you'd think she was a multimillionaire, but as she put it in the film and the documentary, a lot of people made money off of her, especially these horrible, horrible people that stole these private tapes of her and Tommy Lee and made multiple, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars off of it. And they didn't receive a dime. Not that they would have, but, you know, they couldn't sue people. It just got so intense that, you know, she was pregnant at the time at risk of losing a baby because of the stress.
Aww.
So they dropped the lawsuit, and you know, it's just some horrible things happened to her. But she's also a survivor. You know, she doesn't come off with the woe is me sort of thing. She doesn't play herself as a victim. She's mm-hmm. a survivor. And she really shows you in this film how tough of a person she really is.
Interesting. So Pamela, A Love Story is the name of it. Is it already out?
Yeah, it just came out Tuesday.
Okay.
It's really new. Again, all this is timed. I mean, her new book is out. It's making headlines, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, to look back at her career, it's just amazing how people treated her. Even, you know, when she go on a talk show, it's always the same sort of thing, asking her all these personal questions about things all the time, just really having no respect for her. Personally, I've never really been a fan of hers. You know, I certainly was aware of her, but I didn't watch Baywatch or anything like that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But, you know, even with that, though, I still look at her in a much different light. And I look at her like, wow, you know, she didn't deserve any of that.
Yeah.
She really didn't. You know, she was this innocent girl from British Columbia, where she lives largely now, back in Canada, near her parents. And she really loves her kids. She's got two boys. And, you know, it just shows her in a much different light.
Yeah, that's terrible. And I hope that her kids don't have to go through that when, you know, hey.
They seem really well adjusted. They seem like good kids. And yeah. They're growing up, you know, they're probably in their 20s, two sons. So, yeah. Yeah, you'll get all of that. You should definitely watch it, Kelly.
Okay.
Great
okay.
documentary.
Sounds good. All right. Well, we're just about wrapping up here. You've got directconversations.com is where people can follow the stories and all the interviews and things that you do. Anything in particular that you want us to check out?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm still so jazzed about that Nicolas Cage interview that I did.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can get links to that. I write for Looper.com, but you go to directconversations.com to see that. You know, it's award season, so I'm covering that a little bit more so you can see more of that sort of stuff. And, of course, if you miss any sort of reviews that we do, obviously you're nice enough to send the recordings to me, and I post those on the website as well.